Blog Talk Radio.
Comcast, Xfinity, yeah, they got some issues.
Stabbed in the face, they are.
Good morning, Joe. All right, right off the bat, guys, Ginger's on the fringes of all that lovely tornado mess. So when we're gone, if we're gone today, we're gone. We'll be back later tonight. But if we're good, if we get gone today, we are gone.
Try not to, but my internet's been up and down, up and down. Yep. It's like a roller coaster.
I thought it was. I really thought it was me. I was like, what is going on?
I know, and I feel bad. I've got people trying to play on the Minecraft server on the other computer, and it just... you get messages, what happened? hopefully it's saved.
And Ginger...
Most of y'all have some sort of save tower. So
you managed to get it all set up? How's it working? Are you just hosting it on your regular computer?
I'm hosting it on the second computer now.
Ah, nice. Since you got it all set up, you're going to have to tell me how to do that. We may have to set up one for GGR.
Seriously, you should. It was so completely super easy. I could walk you through it in about 5 minutes.
Well, first I got to see once one of these Frankies work because, yeah.
It hosts up to 20 people, which isn't a lot, but it's enough for us to have fun and not have a bunch of outside twerps.
Oh, we can have outside twerps. They just have to pay. If you don't have a code, you got to pay.
It's a massive map. It's the best seed, and Corey's gonna be like, "What?" For those.
No, I know. You forget I have
the best seed I have ever seen.
I have the
entire Minecraft.
You know what? You know what you just did? You just fixed it so I can get my Xbox back. Oh my God! I'm so doing this weekend. I got to see which one of Frankie's can still run. I can get Baby Natrix to play on, you know, our own private server. I can have my Xbox back, because I will never finish Assassin's Creed at this rate. I sit down to play, and she's like, I'm going to play Minecraft.
No, I've got it. It's working. It's beautiful. It's the whole world. There's only about 3 or 4 of us that are playing constant right now. But still, two of us are getting ready today. We've got, if my internet and power will stay up, we've got plans to start our little entryway today. So, yeah.
Nice.
We've got Townie, we've got Akami, we've got all kinds of locks and protections. I'm not dealing with hosers. So if you come on, like I said on Twitch yesterday, I can't say it here, but if you're a bleep, I will punch you in the thing that sounds like it
runs. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! I got you all in.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Frito.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, like I said, guys, if we're gone, we're gone. Love you. All the good stuff. All right. No. Why are people texting me about buying stuff? Do I look like I'm made of money? If I were, I'd be shopping. Hello. Be shopping right now. I wouldn't even be on the show. I'd be doing the show from the mall. Hello. I'm standing in the middle of GameStop.
That's the link if y'all want to come join. Like I said, today, bear with me, there are storms, so everything's a little bit crazy.
If we be gone, we'd be gone. It's too much to set all this up in the morning. Y'all have no idea. We love y'all and everything, but whoop.
Yep.
All right.
And I'm going to need your name so that I can add you to the whitelist. So message me that, and I will get you in. But that's the link.
That's the link.
Can't get in without the whitelist, but yeah.
Otherwise, she's out.
I need your name, and I'll set y'all up. It's easy.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so interesting things have come out about Metro last night.
Yeah.
Did we lose you? Oh, the music went off. I was like, oh, God, Ginger's gone.
No, I'm here for the moment. I'm hanging in there.
Hold on, Ginger, hold on. All right, speed round the news begins now. Okay, so former THQ president is saying working on Metro last night, horrible. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, Andrew Prokhorov, dude Smith, there you go. I can't. Pakarov? Your name is interesting, I got to say. You should have just dubbed yourself Andrew P. and just left it. But anyway, he spoke to Eurogamer and Games Industry International. He spoke to Jason Rubin over there, and he was talking about Metro last night's budget development, and he was thanking him for his piece about it. In 10 years, Mr. Smith worked with THQ. Before 4A, he was at GSC making Stalker. Remember that game? Rubin was apparently the only president to venture to the Ukraine to meet the team, which he did on his second week in charge. He was appointed in spring of last year. But by then, he said it was already too late to fix the situation.
It was too late.
Oh, dramatic. He says, it is a fact that our work conditions are worse than those of other developers outside the Ukraine. I don't think anyone can doubt that. He said, yes, it's true that American and most of European developers operate in a country far more comfortable than the Ukraine. And yes, the publishers pay them more. He called for Rubin not to blame Metro's new publisher, Deep Silver, Koch Media, for not, and they're the people who made Dead Island, by the way, for not putting 4A's logo on the game's website. He said it was a harsh situation the publisher inherited, and there was a lot to do. In 2 months, they managed to pull this out. So if the game is even remotely decent, you guys should be looking at them going, wow. Smith challenged Rubin's remark about THQ's producer wasting time to force multiplayer into the game. He said, we didn't want to make a multiplayer. He said, though if it was excluded from the start, a lot of precious time wouldn't have been wasted, and we'd make an even better single player, which I would have been fine with. Y'all know I'm antisocial. He also concluded, we deserve the ratings we get. After all, the final consumer doesn't care about our conditions, and this is right. We need no indulgence. But I say be nice. We're saying be nice here. In the original story, former THQ president and Naughty Dog co-founder Jason Rubin was disclosing the terrible work conditions about it as well. He said the budget of Last Light is less than some of his competitors, than what they spend on cutscenes. He says it's a mere 10% of the budget of its biggest competitors, and he also posted on Games Industry International that, yes, it is lauded for its story and atmosphere. It is built on a completely original and proprietary second-generation engine that competes with sequels that have stopped numbering themselves, with more engineers on their techs than 4A has been on the entire project. So, again, I say if they manage to pull this out and it's gorgeous, yeah, you need to give them some applause. It looks like they had some – they didn't have a good time. And THQ, you know, the red balloon stuff, I don't know who came up with that idea. You just ruined everybody's day. Yeah. Anyway,
so you're always such the optimist.
See, what did he say? Something nice.
Nintendo's console business is dead.
Is he touting EA? yeah. We're not going to even talk to him because you know what? EA just today had to kill their online pass program. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think that's our story.
All right, let me get this up on the screen.
My voice is even trying to go, what is going on?
Why are you being so weird? Fit to screen. I've got issues. I switched back to my old setup, so...
Again? Can you...
Bear with me. Yeah, the other one was giving me issues. It was way too many issues. So I was like, what am I going to do? So I did something new. Add... window capture. Yes.
Is that
yes,
you
yes.
playing that music? Because I'm hearing all kind of crazy stuff going on. I don't know.
I'm not hearing any music.
Okay, then
not
it's me.
Here. All right. So, there we go. Sorry about that, folks. I know that was a little bit of a bumpy ride there. Let me get this going. Yay! Yet another bird game! That's right. Yet another bird game flies into the iOS store today. Action Comedy Birds. What could go wrong? Supercite Games is a flutter. Really, people? Is a flutter with the news that yet another bird game, YABG, 2012 Square Enix Game Development Contest runner-up is now available on the iOS store for iPhone and iPod Touch. In yet another bird game, a mad scientist who hates birds, that would be me, has developed Bird X to rid birds from their natural habitat. Hell yeah. Electrical wires. This action game is positioning. This action game of positioning includes six bird types, each with their very own distinct personalities and abilities, and an endless high-score mode that will put players' fingers tapping to the test. Join Beanbag, Forkwing, Spartan, Square Crow, Scarecrow, Dr. Strange Bird, and Ben, Ben, we love you, Ben, and a wacky action game that takes place high above the ground on the power lines above a fair city. Screen management skills will put to the test as each bird, with its own unique abilities and problems, has to avoid the deadly current X. With a wacky story and strange characters, yet another bird game will really worm its way into the heart of even the most hardened bird-hating mad scientist. No, it won't, because I don't have an iOS, so I'm not going to play it! Nah, you missed out on this mad scientist.
Okay. All right. Ginger, are you okay? You're not going to hurt anybody, are you?
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
Okay, don't hurt anybody. Okay, so, really, why is Banana Republic ads on my screen? That's what I heard popping up. Okay, who did this? VentureBeat, that's just wrong. No, ma'am,
I tell you, my favorite news sources are all putting in these noisy ads.
They're not only is there noise, but they're popping up over the screen. And where can we get some? Where can we get some? Yeah, I know where to get some. Yeah, y'all don't be surprised. Sorry, don't be surprised if you see them pop up over the weekend. Anyway, EA is doing away with its online pass program from today on, a decision the video game publisher says is partially based on player response. They said they're discontinuing their online pass. EA's director, why can I not see today? I got like super eyes that I can't see today. Senior Director of Corporate Communications John Reisberg confirmed to GamesBeat in an email, none of our new EA titles will include that feature. Thank you. The modern military first-person shooter Battlefield 3 and a number of other EA games, such as Madden NFL, use Online Pass. You need it in order to play many of the game's online features, including multiplayer. That is so 1990-something, y'all. I'm glad you got rid of it. A code activates the pass. Ubisoft, I'm looking at you. Stop it with the passes, seriously. Which has a one-time use. You need a code, which the publisher offers for free, of course. If you're playing the game on another console or you bought the software used and the original owner redeemed the original, but then you don't get it. Players never embraced this particular feature. I know I didn't. Initially, it was launched as an effort to package a full menu of online content and services, and many players didn't respond to the format. So we've listened to the feedback and decided to do away with it. Moving forward, Ubisoft, stop it. Online Pass is seen by publishers as bulwark against the secondhand market, which it was, with which retailer GameStop currently dominates, kind of, sort of. Well, yeah, they do. Publishers are worried that consumers were buying games used instead of new, especially big games with popular multiplayer modes. So the Online Pass became a way that publishers forced consumers to buy a new game or pay extra for online. But from this point forward, you don't need an online pass for any of EA's games online. They said we're still committed to creating content and services that enhance the game experience well beyond the day you first start playing. EA wasn't the only publisher using an online pass system. Activision and Ubisoft, are, of course, among a handful that still are making use of it. You all need to stop.
Yes, you do.
There is no point. It was a good idea when the Xbox first came out. I liked the pass thing because, I think if you, especially when I would play Burnout, if you didn't have a pass, you couldn't go into certain games or something. So I got to play with so many different kinds of people who had passes. You know, I remember Z and I playing with these guys. Every Friday we played with these guys. They were French, and our French is, third grade at best. So it was funny, some of the stuff they were trying to say in English. So they were trying to talk to us in English. We were trying to talk in French. But I never would have met them without the pass. But once Xbox upgraded to our current version of Xbox Live, it really wasn't needed anymore. You could pretty much find anybody. Yeah, find anybody to play with pretty much for any game if you want to, if they want to play with you. Also, because I have to, who is it in the room? Lethal Migraine? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's the thing about you and your Wii U. One of the writers over, Michael Kyle, who we love to molest slowly. He's somewhere blushing. If he's listening, he's somewhere blushing.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, Michael. I haven't had any sleep. But he was he actually wrote an article of why developers aren't interested in the Wii U, and it has nothing to do with the hate that you all have for Nintendo. Some of you fanboys and girls hate Nintendo, and this is the argument I hear. It's a kiddie console. It is. There's no argument there. The point is that when you grow up, you don't want to play kiddie games. Nintendo specifically has a niche market, much like we do here, or we try to. We most of the time cater towards women. when you listen to us. Whether you realize we're doing it or not, that's what we do. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make them evil or bad. It just means this is what we want to do, just as Microsoft with Xbox cornered the market on community and PlayStation was all about graphics, but they're kind of moving towards the indie scene. So everybody has their little thing they like to do that's supposed to set them apart so that you do own all three consoles. They don't want you to go buy your Xbox and say, okay, I'm done. PlayStation's also trying to get you. So is Nintendo. The problem that Michael is saying, and we've also said here, and we'll probably talk about again tonight, is that developers are lazy. The reason why they are shying away from the Wii U is because it requires extra steps. Instead of just saying, I'm going to make an Xbox version, then I'll port it to PC and PS3, you have to now turn around and clean up your console, clean up your game, because Nintendo doesn't like bugs. They will tell you don't come back. So then they're telling you, when you bring it to us, it better be about 95% bug-free, and then you have the option of adding some other functionality based on this little other piece of hardware that we have. The developers are not saying, oh, the Nintendo Wii is horrible. They're looking at it going, that's some extra work, and I really can't think of what I want to do with that little extra thing. What do I do with it? So basically, lazy.
Assassin's Creed was an adult enough for you, Frito? Just curious here, because everybody's, crappy games. Assassin's Creed was horrible, because I'm pretty sure Corey will stab you.
Yes.
Or, split your throat. One of the two.
But
saying Assassin's Creed is bad.
The thing is, you can keep saying more companies should bail, but when we've already, this is why I get in arguments with gamers. Why exactly do you want to own two consoles and have the exact same games on the console? If you want my money, I want to be paying $60 for a game, or if I'm gonna buy it again twice, because some of you will do that, which I think is idiotic. I would not buy the same game for Xbox as I would for PC without them telling me there is a major difference. And that's what I like. That's why I own three different consoles, and that's why I pick different games to play on different consoles based on what they tell me they can do, not because they gave me a free avatar costume. Again, stupid. I'm paying $60. And Frito, you're exactly right. Wii is for your kids. Why is that a problem? Why should lot of the companies we're trying to get with them, the companies that do make consoles specifically for children, they're like Fort Knox. They will not talk to us. Do you know how long I've been after VTech to give, to talk to us, because we would like that market. We would like to put some of your games in front of some moms, but as it is, they won't talk because they're afraid. And then you have Nintendo, who does make most of their games for kids, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how you became a gamer. You didn't wake up as an adult and decide I'm gonna play. You were a kid. You played on Nintendo.
But as somebody over there, Lethal Migraine, Lethal Migraine said, kids shouldn't play video games. No, you should all send your kids outside to play in the sun.
Yes, in the sun, where our ozone layer missing and our climate change, which is going on. And if you tell me,
you don't happen to be allergic to the sun. Thank you.
I know I'd be allergic to the sun. I got the sunburn to prove it. Anyway, Frito, Nintendo's not supposed to grow up with you the same way as you don't wear Oshkosh B'gosh shoes anymore either. When you grew up, they make them for kids. They make things specifically for children.
And some of you girls, I hope you're not wearing the apple bottom jeans anymore, girls. No.
Yes.
Come on.
Disney is also a kids' channel. Do you go to them and say, Disney, you have to grow up with me. Now, by the time I get to be 45, I want you to be showing me porn. No, it's a kids' channel. It's kids. Anyway. Moving along, but I you can go over and check out Michael's article. He makes some very interesting points, and a lot of it has to do, unfortunately, with developer laziness. Some of the developers are taking the challenge. I applaud them. I hear Zombie U is awesome. I hear
Mario. See, what happens when you get to know your neighbors? You take rides with them, and then you end up locked up in their basement. No.
Oh my God. Not happen to me, because if you be in the car talking about you taking me somewhere, I better be naked. I can't have anything on me. And the reason why is I will take it off and stab you. And I'm serious. Hairpin, you better be like,
I know you're totally serious. Whoo, all right.
Cannot take me. You're not taking me. Okay, anyway.
Here we go, folks. They've been saying they're going to do it for a while. You know what? I just put up the wrong image. Never mind. Ignore my images.
Y'all be here tonight. We will continue this discussion, of course, with much more.
No, I did have the right image up. I had the right image up. I just had the wrong story.
Fun.
There we go. Yeah, it's always fun. It's always fun. Whew. All right. Microsoft to kill off MS Point system. We've been telling all this for like 2 years.
Thank you.
Those people at the other place are just now reporting what we've been telling you for about 2 years. That Microsoft... Actually, they put the word May kill off its point system used on its Xbox Live Marketplace. So, Microsoft. Microsoft even said they're getting rid of it. Like, yeah. 6 months ago, they put out a press release.
Yep.
Citing sources familiar with Microsoft's Xbox plans, this other place says that Microsoft will replace the MS point system with a gift card system for retail and will support straight transactions of money using credits and debit cards.
Well, thank you. At least they're doing that. I could go for that because I don't. We actually had a show about this. This is one of our angry shows where I think all of us were arguing, how much hell is it? One day I pay $5 for 1,200 Microsoft points, and the next day is $15, depending on the game. I need to know how much this game costs.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The gift cards will be similar to what Apple offers for iTunes. In other words, they're going to have a real cash value. The new real-world currency system will work across all of Microsoft's various marketplaces, including the Windows Store, Windows Phone Store, and Xbox Live Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
They also say that Microsoft is planning to unveil the system as soon as E3, with a launch later this year for the next generation Xbox console, which we're really was Durango, now it's Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Microsoft is said to hold a press event to reveal some details on its next generation console next week. So, cool. When that happens, we may tune in. We'll probably tune in. We'll see.
Well, yeah, we're supposed to be there. We got invited. Did I not send you your...
No.
Okay, remind me to do that before I forget. Man,
okay.
It's busy.
All right.
It's a busy week. All right.
Well, since that one was short, can I do another one?
Need you ask, darling.
Yes, I can go. She's letting me go. Yay! All right, Nintendo! Did we already talk about this? Nintendo targets Let's Play videos on YouTube. We did not talk about that.
Uh-oh.
Nintendo has decided to target Let's Play videos over on YouTube with Content ID Match claims. According to multiple reports this morning, by making these claims, it allows Nintendo to either block content or monetize the video. Studying well with Let's Play video makers like Zach Scott, whose videos have been targeted by Nintendo.
Oops.
Uh-huh. In a Facebook post, Scott says that Nintendo's actions against YouTube's Let's Play video makers is backwards, and that the videos he makes are his own personal creations made popular by his hard work, perspective, and talents. Video games aren't like movies or TV. Each playthrough is a unique audiovisual experience. When I see a film that someone else is also watching, I don't need to see it again. When I see a game that someone else is playing, I want to play that game for myself. Since I started my gaming channel, I've played a lot of games. I love Nintendo, so I've included their games in my lineup. But until their claims are straightened out, I won't be playing their games. I won't, because it jeopardizes my channel's copyright standing and the livelihood of all LPers. Indie game developer Mike Bithell agrees in a tweet responding to the news about Scott Bithell. He says that his games, Thomas Was Alone, would not have found an audience if it weren't for Let's Play makers like Scott. Meanwhile, Nintendo tried to downplay its YouTube activities to publication GameFront, that's who they went to. In a statement to the website, a representative told the website that it had no plans to block content and that it loved its fans. They said, what'd they say? Where'd it go? We continually want our fans to enjoy sharing Nintendo content on YouTube. That is why, unlike other entertainment companies, we have chosen not to block people using our intellectual property. Sure sounds like they're trying to. Sounds like they're trying to take away the right to monetize it in any way. While these Let's Play videos do contain video from Nintendo games that also contain the hard work of considerable talents of the people making the videos, mm-hmm. will Nintendo at least be splitting the profits of these individuals? Hell no, they won't. On one hand, I want to say, God, I hate this. I understand where Nintendo's coming from. I also understand where the Let's Play people are coming from, because we do these videos and we do this news show, and we wouldn't have this a lot of this mm-hmm. news if it weren't for third parties. So, I have to say, screw you, Nintendo. Back the hell off. You're having
indeed
hard enough time getting the adults over to your new console anyway. Don't be a douchebag.
They should not be.
Yeah. Now, I can't say it like Will Wheaton says, don't be a D, all right?
A D-bag.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I don't think they're going to sue. I think maybe this is kind of a little scare tactic kind of shaped up.
What
but I would I probably am guessing they're probably going to take the money. We had a little discrepancy with them years ago. Remember when they came out with their logo for Touching is Good? It resembles our logo. Very much resembles our logo. I remember when they
good?
Yeah, when they came out with the first Nintendo DS, they were, you know, telling you could touch the screen and, you know, it was a handheld. And so their logo was a G, just like ours, but I think it was inverted, but it was very similar to ours. And you would not believe the calls I got from people, from lawyers offering to sue, and I was like, I don't care, they're helping us out.
Now you're just completely fucking, insane. My bad. Give me Mario Kart for Xbox. Yeah, because Nintendo's really going to let Microsoft play with their game.
Mario Kart is proprietary. It's not, it's theirs.
I don't think he understands that word. We should find
it's not this. Made by, yeah, it's not made by a third-party publisher. It's made by Nintendo. He just wants to yell out stuff. He likes for us to say his name on the air. You like when we say your name. Most guys do. You know how they are. All right. So, say my name. Anyway.
Say my name.
Say it, Ginger. All right. We forgot to tell you about this yesterday, and I want to tell you because I think this is a hacker disaster. Potential hacker disaster. It sounds convenient. The idea is brilliant. But Google, I'm telling you, this is a disaster waiting to happen. You know, Google is making it possible for you to send money to your friends super, super easy. All you do is send them an email.
All right.
Okay, so they're bringing the Google Wallet support to your Gmail. It's now into Google Wallet is integrated with Gmail, or it's going to be over the next 18 months. You'll start seeing it. You can quickly and securely, they say, send money to your friends and family directly within Gmail. Even if they don't have a Gmail address, it's free to send the money if your bank account is linked with your Google Wallet or using your Google Wallet balance. And low fees, there are some low fees that do apply to send money using your credit card or debit card. To send money, you would simply hover over the attachment paperclip in the Compose view and then click the little dollar sign icon to add money to your email. The new feature will compete directly with, of course, other online payment solutions like PayPal and Dwolla. It can be rolled out. It will be rolled out to Gmail users all over the U.S. here over the age of 18 over the coming months, according to VentureBeat. There is a video if you want to see this. I just realized they did a video. Let me let Ginger run it while we chit-chat about this because I think this is a disaster in the making. What happens, because you know how sometimes the Google Mail gets hacked. It's happened to all of us. They may not have done anything more than send out a few emails with your name, but what happens when you're sending money?
That'd not be good. I'd be a little bit hot.
Mm-hmm.
Choo-choo-choo. All right, I'm trying to get it up. I hear it. Where is it? There we go. Wrong window. Well, and now it's not going to show up.
Yeah, I don't want to show up now.
Yeah. There it is for now. I don't know why it's being a pain in my butt.
Man, you got some words today, don't you, baby? You're holding them in. Okay, so now they're showing you how it works. That was it. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned. I'm deeply concerned.
I don't like that. Mm-mm.
I like the idea, but I'm also worried. You know, like, I go to FedEx Kinko's a lot. And, you know, do something like when I have eBay things to send out because everything is there, you know. So sometimes I will log into my Gmail. What happens on a day when I'm super busy and I forget and walk out and leave my Gmail open?
That'd be bad. I'm just going to send myself all the money.
How much money she got in her account, but I'm going to send all of it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Frito, it's not replacing PayPal. They're saying it's competing with PayPal. Like I said, the convenience of it seems wonderful if it's secure. I'm going to sit back myself and watch and see what happens first before I even attempt to do it. I don't know about this. I don't know. I love the idea. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I can just send some money to somebody. Just email it to them. I can send money to Nana. Nana don't even have email, and I can just send her some money. That's nice. No.
Nana would love that. Nana would definitely love that.
Yes, but Nana would be mad if somebody took her money. Somebody is going down. Well, Lisa, it's not really redundant. PayPal doesn't have that. PayPal doesn't have an email where you can log into your PayPal email and then send money that way. So it's not necessarily redundant. It's just scary that... I'm not linking anything to this. It won't happen. I see this as potential for hackers gone bad. Which reminds me, yesterday I ran across a story, a guy who worked for Bank of America, I want to say, or Comerica Bank, who, a good thing he worked for them, but he gave himself $14 million. just to show them how easy it was that this could be done by a hacker. And I walked through the steps with him, and it's stuff that basically, if you are okay with computers, you know, just okay, you could figure out all this stuff yourself. Mm-hmm. And walk in, you know, go into a bank and clean them out. Really.
Wow.
That's scary. People that are at Bank of America, be afraid. All their stuff, and I will tell it to you because you can go find the article up on Yahoo, that all the stuff that they did, they're encrypted. Their transactions, once you got into the bank, past the bank firewall, were not encrypted, and the bank firewall would let you in even if you just had your cell phone because they had free Wi-Fi in the bank. The systems were not separated. The bank's Wi-Fi and the free Wi-Fi not separated.
That's kind of creepy.
And he even went so far as to say, even if it, he says, I could have, you know, he says, if I didn't work for them and they didn't pay me to do this for them, he says, I could have walked in with a jump drive, pretended to be a janitor, he said, because I was looking around, nobody's paying attention, and popped a thumb drive in one of the bank manager's laptop on the side because they're not paying attention, and walk off. Or sometimes there are USB ports, and you guys have been in the bank before. The USB ports are facing you if you're sitting across from someone at the desk. If you lean forward and laugh, and especially if you're a girl, you got nice fluffy cakes, pop, you just popped it in there, you walk out. Nobody's going to notice it. It's not supposed to be there.
That would be bad.
It's bad. So you banks need to be more careful. You know, come into the digital age and start being more secure with my money. I don't want my bank cleaned out. Just saying.
That would be bad. That would be definitely bad.
Very, very scary.
All right, OBS, I don't know what y'all have changed recently, but I'm not liking this. I will find somebody else if y'all keep this up.
Ooh, she's threatening to break up with you.
Yeah, I tend to like OBS, but they've changed something here.
To the
it's
left
not
to
cute.
The...
Mm-hmm. Not cute at all. All right, so Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman says, this generation is going to give you massacres. This one's being pulled from Government Security News. They're offering an interesting story on a recent speech given by a Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. He's the man associated with Killology and the man who often refers to first-person shooter video games as murder simulators. Oh, good God. But you also think, you know, chemtrails in the skies. Anyways, no doubt emboldened by recent shootings in the United States, Grossman, who's currently running around with a tinfoil hat, probably finding it easier to spread his anti-video game message. On May 14th, so 2 days ago, this idiot delivered a speech to a packed meeting room of other idiots over at GovSec Security Conference in Washington, D.C. It is the capital of tinfoil hats. The event is geared towards members of the government, Homeland Security, law enforcement community, and first responders. During his speech, the bulletproof mind, psychological and physiological preparation for combat, he talked about how among this generation of young people, there are twisted individuals who enjoy maiming and killing fellow human beings. This generation is going to give you massacres in the domestic environment and in the work environment. He listed mass murders at schools and universities over the last couple of years as proof. He also said the law enforcement and the general public must prepare for violence like firefighters prepare for fires. Pointed out that no student has died in a school fire in half a century because schools are highly prepared for such an emergency. Grossman also said that he finds the trend of young people being hypnotized by mindless violent video games deplorable and worrisome. Ow! Sorry. There's a generation of vicious, vicious killers out there. Vicious, vicious killers! The video games are trainers. They've been playing Grand Theft Auto their moments since they were 6 years old. All right, let me back up here first. Parents, if you're allowing your kids to play Grand Theft Auto 6 years old, whatever, but probably not your best idea. Ultimately, the Government Security News report came to the conclusion that most of us knew without even hearing Grossman speak, that his long talk was long on emotion and short on supportive evidence and detailed reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what, dude? Sit down, shut up, go make some more tinfoil hats, stare at the sky, and talk about how the rainbows are poisoning us, all right?
The only thing that he said in that whole speech that I agreed with is schools are not prepared to deal with shootings, and they're happening frequently. So, yes, we do probably need to come up with a school shooting drill to tell the kids what to do.
Everybody wants to point at TV. They want to point at movies.
I'm not going to point the finger, but I'll tell you.
Hell, a couple of generations ago, they're pointing at dancing and books and whatnot that cause all the kids to do these horrible things.
Elvis, whom I absolutely...
You know what? Maybe if y'all stop being horrible parents, if you put down your own phone, turn off your TV, schedule a few less hours at work, parent your kids,
mm-hmm.
This wouldn't be an issue. Oh, and on top of that, stop acting... acting like mental illness is going to kill your whole family. Get your kid some help if he's psycho.
Or stop pretending like there's nothing wrong with your kid, because I'm telling you,
yes.
As soon as you notice, you need to be getting them help. But, yeah, I do agree. I agree with him about the school. Yeah, I agree with him about the school shooting thing. There needs to be a drill instituted at all schools. I don't disagree with that one, but the rest of that he could have kept. That's the only constructive thing that he said through his whole speech. Other than that, shut up. And, of course, we'll be talking about this more tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard. Make sure you're here.
We gotta. Ginger's going to be off chain.
Oh, yeah, you and Snow, because you know Snow's going to go off, because our Snow was a former educator, so, yeah. Ubisoft had a earnings conference today, which, of course, again, we were not in. We have told you all we cannot do. I was already sleepy. Man, I would have been snoring all up in the people's ear. Like, which one of y'all is that? That's Kevin Nature. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, Chief Executive Officer Yves Guillemot revealed that the development of the game 1666 Guillemot, the development of 1666 at the studio, once known as THQ Montreal, has been suspended indefinitely. Ubisoft fired the studio's founder and creative director, Patrice Dissier, last week. After more than 2 months of discussion with Dissier, we couldn't align our vision both on project development and team management, so consequently our collaboration has ended. We have suspended development on 1666 for an undisclosed time. When he was asked about the recently acquired studio, as what Guillemot said, producer Jean-François Boivin was also fired along with Dissier. And, of course, they were all over Twitter telling everybody, and they vowed to fight back with their new studio and the titles they had under development. You know what? Don't fight back. Just go do your own thing. Let it go. Ubisoft's actions are baseless and without merit. I intend to fight Ubisoft vigorously for my rights, for my team, and for my game, said Dissier. You know what you do? You get a lawyer, and you go over and you handle that. But stop being all over Twitter. Just, you know, you should be quiet until it's over. That's when you say something. I don't know anything about the game 1666. Anybody was keeping up with that one? Because it wasn't us. We're about the dark and all that business.
I don't know.
All right, I got another one because that one's kind of short.
You go right on ahead.
More earnings calls went on this morning that we missed. Again, good thing we did, because we don't want to snore in people's ears. Microsoft did not reveal their numbers. They refused to, but they say there's some change needed, definitely. Wow. Microsoft execs had more important things to accomplish on this call, apparently, than building excitement for their new console. They had to try and spend the results so that the fact of the lower income on more revenue looked reasonable, and that Microsoft's prospects for the future are looking up, not down. Look at the numbers in the same quarter last year, because they didn't give you any this time. Microsoft had $17.41 billion in revenue with $6.37 billion in income. This year, $20.49 billion in revenue with only $6.6 billion in income is maybe what they got. Spending is up as Microsoft tries to transition away from a PC-dominated world to the future of cloud services, which includes Xbox Live, Surface tablets and Windows smartphones, and that horrible Windows 8. Meanwhile, the Entertainment and Devices division posted revenue of $2.53 billion, which is an increase. They did mention that one, of 56%, 33% when adjusted for the deferral of video game revenue in an accounting change from the prior year period. So, and they're abandoning us at the same time with that stupid whatever they're going to do with the new console. Xbox sold 1.3 million consoles and maintained its share position in a soft console market, Microsoft said. We continuously look for ways to improve Xbox Live for both our members and our partners. We saw transactional revenue grow roughly twice as fast as the member growth this quarter. In other words, Microsoft said it was doing better at selling stuff on Xbox Live than it was signing up new members. Ouch. The company also noted that Xbox Live has grown some 18% from where it was in the last year. Really? There's only so many people you can sign up for Xbox Live. We said the same thing about Wii when people kept arguing, nobody's buying Wii. There's only so many people in the world. You can only sell so many. You can only sign up so many people for Xbox Live. So I'm guessing pretty much everybody that's going to have an Xbox Live account has one. I wish they would stop that when they do numbers. Stop with the, they didn't sign anybody new up. Let's see, there's 3 billion people, and 2.95 billion of them have Xbox Live accounts. Those other 5.5 billion are newborns, so they can't have an Xbox Live account. What do you want? Should we just sign them up at birth? We just go through the nursery? You need Xbox Live. You're
PlayStation. They would probably fully enjoy it if you would, yes.
We're going to go ahead and stamp the logo on your foot. No. Clearly, they say Microsoft doesn't want to steal any thunder from its presentation at E3, so they're keeping their mouths shut. At some point, though, you have to wonder if Microsoft is really expecting its next console to have a major effect on the company as a whole. It might be huge for the console market, but can Microsoft use its next Xbox to sell Surface tablets, Windows smartphones, or copies of Microsoft Office? It seems unlikely, because Windows 8 has been roundly criticized for attempting to bridge the gap between tablets and PCs while satisfying neither market particularly well. So Microsoft was making progress on its vision of Windows everywhere on PC, which I was actually looking at grabbing at one point. Yeah, tablet and smartphone as well, with a common interface. Now that the Xbox is rumored to be based on PC architecture and the Xbox Live interface is already resembling the new Windows interface, we are likely to see common elements between all of Microsoft's hardware markets. No. Okay.
She's like, no. No.
Well, I realize you have to update some things. I'm not liking anything that they're doing. I don't like the new interface on my Xbox Live. And I know people are like, well, you should be able to find it. Such and such is right there. That is not the issue. You have to keep in mind, if Baby Nation plays a whole lot of Minecraft, and whoever on Raptor keeps trying to message me talking about, I see you play Minecraft. That's not me. That's Baby Natrix. When I come on and she's played Minecraft, and if she couldn't find it right there on the screen, and it's not always there, I don't know what they do with mine, especially, it's not always right there, so she goes clicking through stuff. So when I come back, it might be Madden NFL ESPN something countdown in my screen. Then now I got to go hunt for my game when I get ready to play. I don't like.
That would annoy me. Just
I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I don't want Netflix. And I might want a HBO Go there every once in a while because, you know, I'm still getting caught up on my Sex and the Cities, and that's the only place I can watch them. Sometimes I might want that, but otherwise I don't want that. I don't want my YouTube on there. I like my YouTube on my computer because, you know, I'm doing six things and I have it in the corner so I can glance up at it while I'm doing something else. I just don't like it, and I don't have an option. You know, you can't uninstall that stuff. You can't just say, I don't want to see Netflix on here, period. I'm going to uninstall it. What it does is it takes it back down to the base. And then that's it. Just in case you might want it back. Why do you not have an app store where I can go and grab it if I want it? It shouldn't automatically be on my Xbox. I
have to agree with this here.
I don't like any of what they're doing. They're becoming too much like Apple. Part of the reason I don't mess around, I was about to say a bad word, with Apple products is because I don't like the way they do that either. I don't want this base stuff on here. I want it off. I want clean. Just give me the thing and say, here's a link to the App Store. You know who's good at doing that? Sorry to tell you. Google. I got my new Android phone. They listened to me. It came with stuff installed, but it wasn't actually installed. There was a link to it. If you want it, go download it. And if you don't, delete this icon and it's gone from your phone forever.
On that topic, just funny little story. I got my book in for my new class for next semester yesterday. At least I thought I did. I got this great big box. I was thinking, oh, good God, they actually sent me a book.
Uh-huh.
And I picked it up. No, it's really light. So I open it up, and I dig through all of the, you know, the penis and whatnot. And I find a disc case. I'm like, all right, cool. So it's a disc. So I open up the disc case. No, there's an envelope. All right, so open up the envelope. Maybe it's in there. No. It's this little bitty note card that says, please download as such and such. They sent me a link for my school book. In the physical mail, all packed up and all this stuff, and all I had to do is go download it. I'm sorry, I thought that was hilarious. I was like, really, folks? Really?
Wow.
What is wrong with you? Oh, my God. All right, so sorry, that was just a funny little story. All right, let me move.
Hilarious.
Yes, I thought so. Let me move on. I have got more news. News. Let me get the window capture. Window, are you showing?
Do it.
No, it's not showing, and I don't know why. All right, so I'm just going to read this because, yeah, apparently OBS and I are having a fight right now. I'm not quite for sure why.
You know why.
It wants to show everything except for what I'm trying not to show, and I don't know why. There we go, sort of, kind of, more or less. I'm just going to hit play. Maybe y'all can see the video. Hopefully, y'all can see the video.
You know why.
It's not going to show the video.
Well,
oh, there
it's about it anyway.
Show the small window. Anyways, Word Mare out now. Sharkfish Studios, an independent game studio located in Tampere, Finland, is proud to announce the release of Word Mare, a word puzzle for iOS. WordMare is available worldwide for iPhone, for 99 cents. It's also an iPad version of the game that's going to be released shortly. Tired of riding jetpacks or slinging things in your games? Try something different with Wordmare. Wordmare offers a fresh view on word games with a focus on solving word associations. Each level starts with a visible word. With the help of hints, it is up to the players to solve the associated words. Solving words will reveal more associations, and the aim is to locate and solve goal words, or to complete 75% of the whole level to unlock the next one. Tens of hours of gameplay include both smaller and larger levels with different themes. Some words have image or audio clues attached, and if you get stuck, you can use power-ups to reveal letters for unsolved words. Complete larger levels with no time limits, or challenge yourself in shorter time attack levels. Wordmare is perfect for both casual gaming and longer playstations, and it's even better when played together with friends. Yay! All right, so sorry about the trailer being all wonky.
Is that a droid? Is that a droid piece?
No, it's iOS. iOS.
Oh.
I know. No love for the droid. Droid.
Droid.
I don't know.
Droid. Let me try that again. Droid. I can't do it today. Sorry. I tried. Okay. I got some crazy emails in my box because, our server is hiccuping. Oh, gosh. I am not sure which one we should tell you about. Subspace Assault has an expansion pack, which we really don't care about. Do we care about that one?
No, not really.
No. And I don't mean to put you guys down. I'm sure it's a great game. We're just not interested in hearing about it. Not really. Remnant Knights is revamping their landing zones, starting zones. Blah, blah, blah. I can't talk. I'm so tired. Oh, Ginger, I got something for you, by the way. Remind me.
What you got?
I can't tell you because it's, they put that gag thing on us. I can't say it on air. Free-to-play MMORPG Remnant Knight is ending the school year with a bang, introducing revamped starting zones and improvised UI in their update that they sent out, just yesterday. If you're playing, you got it. Players visiting the Owl and Dragon School starting zones will find them completely redesigned. School buildings have been reimagined, and the surrounding areas have been expanded. For the last several updates, they said we've been focusing on adding or revamping higher-level zones, said Mike Suh, Remnant Knight's lead producer. Now it's time for a new look and feel for the starting players, too. The starting zone revamp coincides with the launch of their recently released cloud-based browser version of the game on Miniclip. Oh, wow. Let me see if I can get... why can I not breathe? Why is the Texas air attacking me today?
Girl.
For those of you who do not live in Texas, when we talk about the humidity, today is one of those days where you feel like you're drowning and you're not in any water. Man. Just want to breathe. I just want to breathe. All right. So, in addition, the starting zones with the patch that came out yesterday on the 15th introduced new features allowing you to preview the appearance of equipment drops possible from dungeons prior to entering them so you'll know what you can get before you go in. So if you don't want to go in there, you're like, I already got that stuff or whatever. You'll also notice a streamlined and cleaner UI that frees up additional gameplay space on the screen by reducing borders and implementing mouse over transparent windows, among other things. You can go and play today at remnantknights.com, and they're celebrating prom by offering a free prom costume to all players. How cute. It's a free-to-play MMO designed for teens and younger at heart. You can join with your friends as a student of the Owl or Dragon School and fulfill your destiny as a mighty knight of Kasmari. As the last of the ancient bloodline, you are the last hope to contain the threat from the wild and unruly Skellarian mobs. Train well and develop your skills and meet a few friends along the way. It is rated T14 already by the ESRB board. And they currently have 105 million players across the web. What do you think about that, Ginger?
I think this is interesting. I don't know.
It kind of reminds me of I haven't played the game and I haven't seen it, but it kind of reminds me of Wizard 101. You know, Wizard 101 resembles Harry Potter quite a bit.
Yeah. Now that you mention it.
Yeah, so kind of, they only have two schools. Wizard 101 actually has four different schools, like in Harry Potter, but their powers are vastly different from Harry Potter. Like, you have the Phoenix School fire or something, fire, and you can control fire, ice, or something. That's the one I joined. And but you know where they lost? You know where I got completely immersed and forgot about everything? Baby Nation was pissed. They gave me a house. You have player housing in Wizard 101. And they gave me, I opened a box, and I had a gaggle of furniture. Oh, man. And she was out like, come, kill the skeleton. attention. And I was like, I got to put this couch over here. I'll be out there in a minute. I don't know where you are, but I'll come find you in a minute. She's yelling at me from the other room. I'm getting it, killing me. I was like, join a group. Just okay. I'll just send it. I'll give you approval. Join a group. Just you can't talk to anybody. They can't talk to you. But join a group. It's okay. Watch it. I can see you.
They even have a video, and I have it up.
Look, I'm digitally watching. I can see you from here. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and get in the group. So yeah, this one I haven't seen this one before. I didn't know it was a teen game. But
oh, look at the little pandas. It's kind of cute.
It is adorable.
Well, good, because like I was telling Corey the other day, I ran into an actual kid playing Second Life. Well,
he shouldn't be in there at all.
No. And I was like, oh my god. And I was like, there are other games that you should be playing, not this one. I stay on the kids zone. I don't care.
Where is a kids zone at in Second Life anymore?
There are certain grids that are very highly guarded that are for the kid population, but for the most part, no, you shouldn't be there. But,
that sucks. I kind of want to check this out just to see.
No, no, I may. It's free to play, so hey.
Then I'm going to have to hide.
Each account gets 15-day outfits so you can use male and female characters.
Oh, so they can switch back and forth. Very interesting. Be yourself.
Oh, and you can even get a prom outfit. See, that's
yeah, that's
cute.
What
I
said.
That.
There was a prom outfit for
so
them.
That is definitely catering more towards the
kids.
Yeah, towards the kids, which I like. All right. Okay, so since I think I got this somewhat worked out, maybe. Yes, I do. Okay.
Stop pinging me in Second Life. I can't talk right now.
Yeah. Point-and-click pulp mystery adventure game announcement. Jack Haunt. Yay. Jack Haunt, Old Haunting Grounds, is an upcoming point-and-click pulp mystery adventure game by Evolving Poet Media for the PC. And Jack Haunt, you will unravel the house's ghastly tale, discover whodunit, raise the dead, find your remains, and live out the fantasy of being a dime store novel detective. And if you can't find your body before the sun goes down, then it's a lifestyle for good for old Jack, the private investigator. Investigate the nefarious, oh, I love that word, nefarious, tale behind the house where Jack died, as you help him discover where his remains lie.
What game is this?
This is, Jack Haunt.
Who made this?
Evolving Poet?
Yeah, we need to find out who that is. That sounds very, very, almost exactly like the game we designed for Second Life, like 2005 developer competition. Don't let me find out one of y'all. I got paperwork.
Investigate the nefarious tale behind the house. Piece together clues about past life as the story unfolds over 6 hours of gameplay. A simplified point-and-click adventure at heart, Jack Haunt will have you searching the now-abandoned house for clues while streamlining the complicated elements typical of the genre. Style the Burn, experience the dark inner workings of a dangerous mystery from the relative safety of a point-and-click adventure, the contrast of the story's horrendous implications with our hand-drawn graphics, and Quirky's 50 cheese writing and humor will keep you on edge without leaving you heaving at explicit gore. Put your soul at ease. Jack Haunt is built to give you all the greatness that comes with a traditional point-and-click adventure game in a slimmed-down way. Do you have questions? Statements like these? What? I used to play point-and-clicks a lot. Now I have no time. Jack Haunt provides a concise story with 6 hours of core gameplay and bite-sized story chunks that make it optimal for start-and-stop play. And if you want more, don't worry, including side quests and exploration, Jack Haunt has more than 10 hours of gameplay. Yay! All right, so how much is this thing going to cost? They say probably about $10. They're not saying exactly, though, so hey. Anyway, so what do we got? $10, tentative price point, PC release, 200-plus objects to interact with, 6-plus hours of core gameplay, 50s privatized setting with a supernatural, normal, natural horror plot, and point-and-click pulp mystery adventure game. Yay! All right, so this is Jack Haunt, pulp mystery. Kind of interesting.
Give me a link to those people, because that is, like, almost exactly the game design we were working on. I mean, exactly, with the exception of the lead character being a guy instead of we had a woman.
There you go.
They're going to get cut.
Boys, you're going to cut somebody. Uh-oh.
That's a screenshot, woman.
Well, if you look at the very front, that's
I see,
one
I, side. I got you there. I'm tired. I'm a little slow today. All right, it's time for us to go, for that matter, because I was about to give you another story, because it's always news going on.
It is. I'm so sorry for the bumpy roads. Me and OBS are having a fight today.
You managed to hang on the whole hour.
I know. Now watch, 2 minutes after the show goes down. I'm like,
Bloop. All right, we will be here later, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time tonight to discuss some things that went on this week. You're welcome to bring your own topic and talk about it. We just kind of go with the flow on Thursday nights. You can call in. Don't think that when we yell at you, we don't like you. If we're just passionate. We hope you're passionate about your games, too. You can call us tonight. You can write this number down for later if you want. 347-215-7977. Do not call now. You will get some woman in Denmark. I don't know. And of course.
Yes, tune in tonight because Ginger very well may be drunk by then because, oh my God.
And I'm not going to drink anything because then it will be real violence. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy driving down to Houston to bail Corey out of jail.
Yeah, you know, Mother's Day, my Nana gave me a drink and then she gave me coffee after because she noticed I was getting kind of, she said, you're getting a little beepy. Here, drink this coffee so you can get that out of your system. I was yelling at somebody over her patio. They were standing there. I was like, hell are you looking at? She's like, oh, no, come on in here. No more drinks for you. All right, we'll see you guys later. Did you give them their kiss?
Later, boys and girls.